understanding our true nature. In order to attain the goal of creation, there needs to be a hunger, without which it's impossible to taste the whole depth of the pleasures that are sent by the Creator, and without which we cannot bring gratification to the Almighty. Therefore, it's crucial to correct egoism, which would then permit him to experience pleasure for the sake of the Creator. In times when an individual experiences fear, it's essential to understand the reason for which the Creator sends him such a feeling. There is no force or power that rules in the world except the Creator, no enemies or dark forces. However, it is the Creator himself who forms in a person a sensation like this, in order for that person to consider for the purpose it is felt by him so suddenly, and as a result of his searching, he will be able, through an exertion of faith, to say that the Creator himself sends this to him. If, after all his efforts, his fear does not subside, he must interpret it as an example of a degree to which one should experience the fear of the grandeur and the power of the Creator. That is, to the same degree that his body is shaken by an imaginary source of fear in our world, so must one shudder at the fear of the Creator. How can a person determine precisely what spiritual state he's in? When he feels confident and happy, it's usually the result of having faith in his personal strength, and thus not a feeling that he is in need of the Creator. This state implies that, in fact, he's completely buried in the depths of his own egoism and distanced from the Creator. On the other hand, when he feels completely lost and helpless, then he experiences a sharp need for the support of the Creator. At that time, he enters a much better state with regard to his own well-being. If an individual, having exerted himself, performs an act that appears to be good, and consequently experiences a feeling of satisfaction with himself, he immediately falls prey to his own egoism. He does not realize that it's the Creator who gave him a possibility to perform an act of goodness. Thus, by feeling good about himself, he only increases his egoism. If a person, day after day, exerts efforts in his studies and tries to return in his thoughts to the goal of creation, and he still feels that he does not understand anything, or corrects himself to some degree, and if, in his heart, that person reproaches the Creator for the state that he's in, then that person moves further away from the truth. As soon as a person attempts to shift to altruism, his body and his reason immediately rise against such thoughts, and in every way possible try to push him away from his path. Hundreds of thoughts, excuses, and urgent tasks immediately appear, since altruism, that is, everything that's not connected with some sort of benefit to the body, is hateful to us. It's not possible for our intellect to bear such aspirations for even a moment, and they're immediately suppressed. Therefore, thoughts about nullifying egoism seem very difficult and not within human power. If, however, they're not perceived as such, it indicates that somewhere deep in them is concentrated some benefit for the body, which allows us to think and to act in a certain manner by deceiving us into thinking that our thoughts and deeds are altruistic. Thus, the best test for determining whether a given thought or action comes as a result of a concern for the self or from altruism is, does the heart and the reason allow this thought to be sustained somehow, or even to make a slight movement based upon it? If he finds agreement, then it is self-deception. It's not true altruism. The moment when a person concentrates on thoughts that are not concerned with the needs of the body, immediately there come to him questions of the kind, why do I do this, and who benefits from this? In such situations, although the person feels that the barriers are coming from the body or from his desire to receive pleasure, the most important thing for him is to discover that ultimately, it's not the body that poses these questions and prohibits him from engaging in anything that's beyond the limitation of his interests. This is the action of the Creator himself. He forms within us these thoughts and desires and does not allow us to break away from the desires of the body. And there's nothing else besides him. Just as he draws us closer to himself, so he himself places obstacles on the path to him so that we would learn to understand our own nature and so we'd be able to react to every thought and desire of our body during our attempts to break free from it. Undoubtedly, such states can happen only among those who strive to attain divine qualities and to break through into the spiritual world. To such individuals, the Creator sends various obstacles which are felt as thoughts and desires of the body that push him away from spirituality. All this is done so that a person may discover his true spiritual state in relation to the Creator, to see how much he justifies the acts of the Creator despite the objections of reason, how much he hates the Creator, who takes away all the pleasure from his life, which had been suddenly seen to be filled with wonder and light, and throws him into the abyss of despair, because the body cannot find even an ounce of pleasure anymore in the altruistic conditions. It appears to a person that it's his body that's objecting, and not the Creator himself who acts upon his feelings and reason by giving a person thoughts and emotions that are received either positively or negatively. The Creator himself forms specific responses of the heart and the mind in order to teach a person and to acquaint him with himself. A mother teaching her baby shows him something and lets him taste it and immediately explains it to him. Similarly, the Creator shows and explains to a person his true attitude towards spirituality and his lack of ability to act independently. The most difficult aspect of spiritual ascent is the fact that within the person himself, two opinions, two forces, two goals, two desires constantly collide, even with respect to the goal of creation. On the one hand, a person must attain unity in his qualities with the Creator. Just so, on the other hand, one should beget a single desire to part with everything for the sake of the Creator. But the Creator is absolutely altruistic and has no need for anything, but only desires that we should experience the absolute pleasure. That is his goal in creation. However, these goals appear contradictory. An individual must relinquish everything to the Creator, and at the same time, he must be gratified and attain ultimate pleasure. The answer to this seeming contradiction is that one of them is not a goal, but a means of achieving the goal. First, a person must reach the condition where all his thoughts, desires, and actions are situated outside the boundaries of egoism, and they are ultimately altruistic, solely for the sake of the Creator. But since there's nothing in the universe other than man and the Creator, everything that falls outside the boundaries of our five senses, or the body, is automatically the Creator. Once a person attains the correction of creation, that is, the congruence of his personal qualities with the qualities of the Creator, then he begins to grasp the goal of creation, to receive from the Creator the unlimited pleasure, unbounded by the limits of egoism. First, a person needs to achieve the correction of creation, that is, the congruence of his personal qualities with the qualities of the Creator, and only then can he begin to achieve the goal of creation, to receive from the Creator the unlimited pleasure, unbounded by the limits of egoism. Before the correction, a person possesses only the desire for self-gratification. As one progresses in correcting oneself, he starts to favor the desire to give everything away over the desire to receive pleasure for oneself. However, at this stage, a person is still incapable of receiving pleasure from the Creator. Only upon completion of the process of self-correction can one begin to receive the unbounded pleasure, not for the sake of one's own egoism, but for the goal of creation. The gratification that he receives, not for the sake of his own egoism, does not generate the feeling of shame, because by receiving, by grasping, by perceiving the Creator, a person is happy for the pleasure that is received by the Creator by virtue of his actions. Thus, the more one receives from the Creator and is pleased by him, the more one is happy that the Creator experiences pleasure as a result. An analogy between light and darkness in our world can be made with perceptions of the spiritual light and darkness, called day and night. This is the feeling of the presence or absence of the Creator, of the presence or the absence of the Creator's supervision, that is, the presence or the absence of the Creator within ourselves. In other words, if a person asks something of the Creator and receives it immediately, this is denoted as light or day. But if he's plagued by doubts about the existence of the Creator and about his management of the universe, then a situation such as this is called darkness or night. To better phrase it, the concealment of the Creator is known as darkness, since it arouses in a person doubts and incorrect thoughts, which are felt by him as the darkness of the night. The true aspiration of a person should not be the perception of the Creator and the grasping of his actions, since this in itself is a purely egoistic desire. A human being will not be able to withstand the enormous pleasure that will result from the attaining of perceptions and will descend back to the egotistic state. The real aspiration should be to desire to receive from the Creator the strength to proceed against the yearnings of the body and the mind that is to attain faith that will be greater than the human intellect and bodily desires. Having grasped and perceived the Creator and His absolute benevolent dominion, as well as His power in the entire creation, a human being should choose not to see the Creator in all His glory, because this would undermine his faith. Rather, one should proceed by virtue of his faith and against the desires of his body and human intellect. All that one can desire is the strength to believe in him and his dominion of the universe. The possession of such a belief by a person is known as light or day, since one can begin to receive pleasure without fear, being free from the desires of the body and not being enslaved by the body and reason. When a person achieves this new nature, that is, when one's capable of carrying out acts that are independent of bodily desires, the Creator gives him pleasures from his light. If darkness descends on a person, and he does not feel any joy in the work of attaining the spiritual, nor the ability to feel a special relation with the Creator and to feel fear and love for him, then he has but one alternative, the crying of the soul. He must pray to the Creator, so that he should have pity on him and remove the black cloud that darkens all of his feelings and thoughts, concealing the Creator from his heart and his eyes. This is because the cry of the soul is the most powerful prayer. When nothing can help, that is, after a person is convinced that all his efforts, knowledge, experience, physical acts, and endeavors are not sufficient to help him enter the upper spiritual realm, then with his entire being, he feels that he's exhausted all possibilities and all his powers, and only then does he come to the realization that only the Creator can help him. Only then does he come to the condition when he cries out to the Creator and prays to him for personal redemption. But before this time, no extraneous hardships will induce a person to cry out to the Creator genuinely and from the bottom of his heart. Only when he feels that all the options before him are already closed will the gates of tears open, so that he may enter the higher world, the dwelling of the Creator. Because of this, after a person has tested all his possibilities to attain the spiritual ascent by himself, will a state of absolute darkness descend on him. There's only one escape, only if the Creator helps him. But still, the breaking of his egotistic eye when a person has not yet achieved the perception that there's a force that guides and directs him, when he's not yet been cured by this truth, and has not yet apprehended this state, his body will not yet allow him to call out to the Creator. And because of this, he's obligated to do everything in his strength to do and not to wait for a miracle from above. This is not because the Creator doesn't wish to take pity on him and waits until he breaks. But when a person tries out all his options, he gains experience, understanding, and perception of his own nature. These feelings that he's passed through are necessary because it's in them that he receives. And it is with them that he senses the revelation of the light of the Creator and the upper intellect.